Thrill of Friday, Listen to Your Heart, song by Swedish pop music duo Roxette. Roxette said, this is us trying to recreate that overblown American FM rock sound to the point where it almost becomes absurd. We really wanted to see how far we could take it, and take it they did they not, Michael? Listen to that. That is excessive. But, you know, beautiful in a way. Michael? No, he's not there, Leonie. They're not there.
Yeah, right. No, I vaguely remember this song from a long time ago. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. Listen to Your Heart there by Swedish pop music duo Roxette. Happy power ballad Friday. 25.
Brings back some good party times.
Brings back some what, Leonie?
Some good party times.
Yes, such as an example?
When I was a student at Lincoln University.
Yeah, we'll leave it there, right?
You shouldn't
I won't
ask
say any more
examples, Wallace.
That's a very good point, actually. Wallace, you
the whole idea of good parties is you can't remember anyway.
No, that's Wallace. Anne says, Wallace, you are absolutely infuriating me. Your views are bizarre. Warehouse to wash undies that someone tried on. What's wrong with that? There is a part of the warehouse where you can reuse clothes. Why can't you wash there? And old people like me should take a bus. What? I think it will be a number of different buses. Are you actually serious? Loving your company this afternoon. To this, new research from Consumer NZ shows that supermarkets are now less trusted than the banking sector. In June of last year, 17% of New Zealanders said they did not trust the supermarkets. Today, it's doubled, jumping to 32%, meaning that they're now overtaking the banking industry. That's at 29%. Concern about food prices has also jumped significantly. Groceries were the eighth biggest financial concern of June last year to third in April this year, beaten only by rent and mortgage payments. So to discuss, we have John Duffy, the Consumer NZ Chief Executive. Kia ora, John.
Kia ora.
Any surprises here? It's quite a jump.
I am surprised by the level of the jump. The supermarkets have been, relatively highly regarded, I think, by the population. But I guess recent events following on from the Commerce Commission's market study, has this research is demonstrating it's really kind of rocked people's faith in the supermarkets.
Groceries being an essential service of all the sectors, probably the last thing you'd want to have no trust in is the place where you go and get your kai for the week. How concerning do you think it is that there is so much distrust in this industry, particularly if it keeps on going?
Well, I think it is concerning, and one of the most concerning parts of it is most people don't have a choice, right? There are very few options outside the major supermarkets for sourcing the full range of the groceries you need in your household. So, not only is there a lack of trust, but there's also a lack of choice, which must be pretty frustrating for people.
Let's bring on the panel. Michael, you first on this.
Yeah. So, John, how long ago was this data collected?
So this is the last three quarters. So this data was collected, this most recent data point was in April 2022, so last month.
Right. So what is it about, do we have any qualitative answers to what it is they don't trust about the supermarkets? Is they believe they're being ripped off, or they believe, what is it that they don't trust?
We don't have specific data on exactly what's driving that metric. What I guess is remarkable for us is how the metric has changed over time. So how the events, of the last year have really changed that trust. Whereas if you look at where the banks are sitting, people are, of course, mildly distrustful of the banking sector, but that's relatively stable.
Yeah. So it's the movement, which is the really surprising thing, which I have to say, I thought that jump was statistically very significant. I don't quite understand. I'd be quite interested to see what has triggered that. Whether it's just a general sense of I think something is wrong, or I'm really disgruntled by how much I'm paying and I don't trust them as a result of it. It's quite, or, you know, I've got less income, inflation is terrible, there's a whole lot of component parts to it. But you're right, it's the movement which is the really interesting thing, and it's not good because obviously folk have got to believe where they're spending a big chunk of their money, they're spending it with somebody that they can have at least some relationship with of some sort of trust.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think all of those factors you've pointed to are relevant, and it will be a combination of those things. And for different people, some of those factors will be more important than others. So it's difficult for us to say, hey, it's one thing or another. I guess, you know, certainly looking at some of the public views expressed around the conclusions drawn by the Commerce Commission around the lack of competition, the lack of choice, and the profitability of the supermarkets won't be helping.
It'll be interesting to see whether or not how most people are defining supermarkets. I assume they're defining it by the big three brands rather than their kind of local grocer, their sort of larger but community-based produce seller or whatever. I'm assuming that we're talking about the big branded ones.
Yeah, we're reading it as the large supermarket chain.
Yeah. Right, Leonie.
Yeah, no, I was quite surprised by the change because I think back in the last couple of years with COVID and the lockdown, the supermarkets and the food suppliers have been a huge sort of key support for everybody. And and I suppose I often think about the alternatives, you know, the local greengrocers and the local butchers and all the sort of Sunday markets where there's so much other food. So I know they're not... You know, they're not in scale and size, but you know, I was quite surprised by the results of this.
I think it's actually reflected in the dramatic change. So I think if you look back to June 2021, you know, you're seeing us coming in and out of quite significant lockdowns, and you know, supermarkets doing an absolutely fantastic job keeping us fed. You know, frontline staff at the supermarkets doing just a wonderful job. In really trying circumstances. But as COVID has slipped down the level of, I guess, overall worries, and the cost of living has crept up that list, that is probably, you know, a driving force of this change. If we look at the result in February 2022, it lifts significantly from June 2021. And then lifts again in April. So I guess it's the decline of COVID as a worry for people.
Yeah.
Although Auckland was in lockdown, you know, pretty much close up till Christmas. So, you know, it's whilst the rest of the country might have been operating, Auckland, you know, we were in lockdown and not out and about.
Michael.
I was just going to say, this is a nationally representative survey. So while Auckland will be a decent chunk of it, it is national.
Michael.
I was just thinking, I never got, you know, how there was a moment during lockdown where there was an increase in violence towards cashiers and people inside, you know, the workers. I never got that too. So I never understood how that could possibly happen, why people would do that. So obviously people's response to supermarkets is more complex than I imagine, I guess.
Right. Now, finally, John, in terms of you know, this issue is playing out, isn't it? And we expect to hear more on this. But in terms of players coming into the market, there is Costco, which, as I understand it, is one of the world's biggest supermarkets, or at least one of the biggest in the US, if not the biggest. What impact do you think will that have practically?
Well, I mean, it's geographically localized. So
yeah,
it's only,
that's true.
You know, within driving distance of that part of Auckland, that it will have any impact. But look, any new player entering the market is good. The question is, can they scale? Can they get to the point where you can go there and do your full grocery shop, and that they can get enough scale and distribution and wholesale to take on the big supermarket chains.
I guess what I'm saying, John, to what extent it is localised, but to what extent is that a shot across the bow of the supermarkets going, you know, you're in the boardroom in Australia going, have you heard the latest? Costco's coming to New Zealand.
Well, I think a combination of Costco coming to New Zealand and the government moving to prohibit these restrictive covenants that have stopped new entrants coming into the market because they couldn't get access to land. So that was announced in the budget last week. So those two factors would, I guess, make the supermarket industry kind of sit up and take a little bit of notice. But there's actually a lot more that needs to happen flowing from that Commerce Commission inquiry before they'll actually be getting a bit nervous. At the moment, they're still sitting pretty quick, pretty.
Kia ora, John. Thank you again for your time. That's John Duffy, the Consumer NZ Chief Executive. It's 16 to 5, the panel, RNZ National. To this, do our electoral laws make it too hard for minor and fringe parties to enter Parliament? At the 2020 election, more than 225,000 people voted for a party which did not make it into Parliament. That's more than 7% of the total votes cast. As part of the review into Aotearoa's electoral laws, an expert panel will look at whether we should lower the current 5% threshold. Is it time to give minor parties more of a chance and lower that threshold? Someone who has written about this in the last couple of days is Dr. Bryce Edwards from Victoria University, who says doing so would be truly consequential. Dr. Edwards, kia ora, welcome.
Hi, guys.
How would a lower threshold impact the look of our parliament?
I think the main result would be that more parties would get in. So we'd have more minor parties. It wouldn't just be ACT, Greens and Te Pāti Māori, I should say. It would be other small micro parties, perhaps. It would mean that even a new party with just 1 or 2%, if you had a low enough threshold, that party would have a chance to get into Parliament and potentially grow from there and become a bigger party.
And we're going to hear from a panel soon whether they support the lower threshold. Can it be summed up though, Bryce, with a text we got about this wee while ago? You do this, you get the crazies in Parliament.
I think some would argue we already have a few crazies in Parliament, and why not get some of the other ones as well? I mean, it's all pretty subjective, isn't it? And I mean, that's what democracy's about. And if you're scared of having the parties in Parliament,
but is it, Bryce? Is there such a thing as too much democracy?
Yeah, I don't think so, actually. I think we definitely need more democracy. And what we're doing at the moment is suppressing the ability of a lot of people to vote for new parties. And so we've ended up with a party system that is kind of a bit moribund. We haven't actually had any new parties at all come into Parliament since MMP started that weren't basically split offs from other parties. So, parties like TOP or the Conservatives, they don't manage to get back in because they can't get in at all. They never make it anywhere near the 5%.
2101, lower the threshold. Your thoughts on this? So the likes of, say, for example, the Opportunities Party can get in. There's around the panel on this, yes or no, Leonie Freeman, lower the threshold, 5% down.
So just the question I've got for Bryce
I want to know your opinion first.
Well, I'm trying to understand, is he saying that there's no threshold at all, or just we lower it from 5% to something else?
Yeah, I'll just clarify that quickly to say that the Electoral Commission recommended lowering it from 5% to 4% back about 10 years ago. And generally, the proponents of a lower threshold recommend 3% or maybe 4%. I think that would be progress. But personally, I think we shouldn't have a threshold. I see no reason for it at all. So essentially, we can have a 1% threshold.
What?
Well, I definitely think we need a threshold, but because I think there's got to be something. And if it was 4% or the current 5%, I'd be pretty relaxed. But
good
I
Lord.
Wouldn't want to see no threshold.
A 1% threshold for Bryce Edwards here. Michael?
I'd say lower it. I think we've got a whole lot of issues around engagement. and a whole lot of questions about whether people can be bothered with the system and they're not hearing their voices.
Right.
And I think if lowering the threshold might allow like-minded people to coalesce and to grow a party, then I think that would be a jolly good idea. Don't quite know how no threshold would work, though, Bryce. Does that mean anybody could get in with any vote?
Yes. So essentially you would need about 0.83% of the vote. So just about 1% of the vote. That's about 18,000 voters. If they all voted for a certain, I don't know, left-wing party or Christian party, that party...
Across the nation.
Across the nation, that's right. Mm. They would then get one MP.
Right. I was particularly interested because I believe one of the issues is actually the electoral term. And I think that, although I think you should lower the threshold, I actually believe it's pressing that we should have longer than a three-year cycle, and I'm pleased to see that's in the terms of reference.
That's in the terms of reference. Bryce, won't lowering the threshold just lead to too many parties wagging the tail of government?
Yeah, the argument for having a threshold is to have more stability, to keep out the dangerous parties, the more extremist, unstable ones. But where it has occurred in other countries, such as Japan or Finland, it doesn't seem to be a problem not having a threshold. Certainly, mathematically, the more parties you have in there, the less chance there is for one particular party to wag the dog, if you like. So it means the likes of New Zealand First have less chance of being the kingmaker, queenmaker, and you have lots of different parties that can be used by the major parties to put together a coalition.
All right. So very interesting. Quite a bit of response to this, as you can imagine. No, lowering the threshold, what a terrible idea. And someone says, absolutely, yes, we need the likes of the tops. And on that, just finally, Dr. Edwards, do you think that we are missing a trick by not having the representation of, you know, completely new parties?
Oh, look, absolutely. I think that's the big issue here. Lots of people aren't represented. When we kind of have done really good in terms of increasing diversity of our parliament in terms of gender, ethnicity, but not in terms of other things like ideology. And I think this is the best way of getting some new blood in there.
Dr. Bryce Edwards, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. Now, here's one here. Please lower the threshold. The 80s Royal Commission suggested 4%. It suggests it suits Labour and National to keep it at 5%. And that requires a lot more votes today than in 1996, given population increases, plus make the voting age 16 from Kathleen, a progressive 70-year-old. 8 to 5. The panel are NZ National Loving and Company today. Friday afternoon, we have Leonie Freeman and Michael Moynihan with us. And I thought this was a lovely, lovely way to end the show. School gardens are popping up all around Aotearoa. One school in Timaru is not only teaching students how to grow their own fruit and veggies, they're also helping feed those in need. Waimataitai school produces so much food, they are left with more produce than they can eat. Their solution, a community food cart outside the school gate, so those in need could take what they want. And it wasn't long before the school noticed that fruit and veggies, such as grapes, feijoas, they hadn't grown, appearing in the cart. The community now uses it as produce swap. Kane Puller is the teacher in charge of the program, and he's with us now from Te Manu. Kane, kia ora.
Kia ora.
Great to have you on, Kane. What an initiative. Tell us about this garden, about the school. What are you guys growing?
We're growing a big range, really, but it all started with our Enviro Skills Uni, which has been going on for a lot longer than I've been there. But the importance of a school garden and practicing sustainability is sort of part of the school. And so we've got a Friday gardening club or a kaitiaki club that kids come along to, and we harvest and dig and grow, and it's really cool to see the kids getting practically involved with the garden and showing what they've learned from their families. And some of that produce ends up in our tummies, and some of it being lucky enough to make its way out to the community tie cart as well, which has been really cool.
Very cool, Kane. And what do the kids think of the success in growing this kai? What do they make of it?
I think they really like having a wee taste of it themselves, which is really cool. You know, do the mahi and get the treat. And but they've been they've been really stoked to see the community dropping off stuff, or they put stuff out and then it's gone the next time they check it, and there's new things there, and teachers are bringing along some of their produce from home that's extra. And so it's been a cool way to see the community connecting with our school, and our school being able to connect with the community as well.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. We've got a panel with us, Kane. Let's bring Leonie in. Leonie Freeman.
Kane, I just wanted to say congratulations to you and all your students. I thought it was just, Wallace, it's just nice to have a positive article in this session on the panel today. And I just think it's really heartwarming to see the kids getting so excited into things like this, and understanding not only about growing food that they can then eat, but how they can make a contribution in their community. So I just think just fantastic, and keep up the great work.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, Michael?
Oh, yes. There are so many levels at which this is both heartwarming and an extraordinarily good example to set for others, and to set them up, to set the kids up for life. And without wishing to be too kind of Friday afternoon about it, I was a teacher a very long time ago, and I do admire teachers who are, like you, who are prepared to engage with their kids in a broader way than just sitting them in front of them in a classroom. And the contribution that you and teachers like you make to expanding the world our children live in is extraordinary.
Yeah,
kia ora,
Michael.
So thank you from me.
And is also that a part of it, Kane? You yourself as a teacher and an educator, you get quite a bit from it yourself.
Yeah, well, it's sort of been part of my journey, having a house and a veggie garden and thinking about what I can grow, and then enjoying the rewards of my labour. And it's really cool to see the kids get excited and meet me outside the shed on Friday and what are we doing today? Or, you know, I'll go and get the wheelbarrow and the fork, and are we doing this or that? So it's really cool to see the energy and putting the energy into something constructive that
absolutely
that makes a difference and has a really positive outcome.
And so it's Friday today, Kane. Have you just come from the Kai Club, or are you going to it?
We met at lunchtime today, and we dug up some buds that we put in a wee while ago. So it was a chip day today. So bit of harvesting and bit of scrubbing. I think a little bit of dirt got left on some buds, but no one seemed to notice that. They're all pretty excited to tuck in.
Kane, well done. Thanks for joining us on the panel. There you go. So Waimai Tai Tai School, Timaru started its school garden when it joined the Enviro Schools program. So today was Spuds Day. They've just dug up some spuds. It's Chip Day. There might be a bit of a do or not, but as you said, Leonie, and rightfully so, what a heartwarming thing to hear. What a heartwarming thing to be involved in, both from the community, the kids, and Kane.
Wallace?
Yeah.
I was just... No, it's all right. I was thinking about that supermarket story earlier and saying, you know, that the warehouse never managed to get a foothold in supermarkets either.
No, they didn't either. Oh, what do I hear? What do I hear? I hear Roxette. Gotta go. Leonie Freeman, Michael Moynihan, kia ora. A big thanks to my producers, Charlie Drever and Tim Miller. Lisa Owen, Checkpoint next. Have an absolutely fantastic weekend. I'm Wallace Chapman. See you next week.